lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we recently started a study titled Five Fundamentals of the Faith. And I said that today there's an increasing amount of liberalization and modernization of Christian theology, and it tends to more and more to devalue what has long been considered the bedrock truths of Scripture. And as we look into this, we need to understand that God has given us a foundation. Foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is the one. He's the bedrock. He's the one we base our faith upon. Without him, no one goes to heaven. Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he rose from the grave that you and I, as human beings, could have salvation. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. There are basic facts that we find in the Word of God that Christian faith is founded upon. Jesus Christ, of course, is the foundation. But there are fundamentals that we look at as we look and we build upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we start looking, we find that there are certain things that we must believe in order to really understand why we go to heaven, how we go to heaven, and why Jesus Christ came to this earth to give his life for us. Now, five fundamentals of the faith, if a person denies these five fundamentals, to me, they've never been born again. Because they do not believe God. They do not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, let me recap. There's three of these that I would like for us to look at and briefly look at once again. The five fundamentals of the faith. First of all is the inerrancy. That means there's no mistakes found in the Bible. The Bible itself is inerrant. That means there are no mistakes. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And that word "all" means all. That means the Old Testament. Some people do not accept the Old Testament today as the Word of God. They say, well, we don't live under the Old Testament. Well, if you don't live under the Old Testament, you're not living under the New Testament either. You have not accepted the Word of God as God has had it pinned down. It's under His God's breath. In other words, it's God breathed. It's what God wanted written down. He wanted to give us the accounts and the history and especially the plan of salvation for human beings to be able to go to heaven one day. So we see the first fundamental is the Bible. It's given full authority. And then I see the second fundamental is Jesus Christ himself, the virgin birth. Luke chapter 1, verse 34 and 35 talks about Mary and how that the angel came to her and told her she was going to have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And of course, we keep reading, we find that that means God with us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ, he was born, was on this wise. He was born of a virgin, when as his mother Mary was a spouse of Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." I don't believe these so-called versions of the Bible. They're perversions. Many of them leave out the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, we're all lost in sin. There is no salvation. There is nothing. And we call God a liar because God said that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, There's many names of the Lord, and we've seen that as we study the Word of God: Counselor, King, Prophet, Priest. But we need to understand that Jesus Christ did come into this world, and He was virgin born, and He came to do a job. The Bible says He came to glorify the Lord, His Father. And by glorifying the Father, He was doing what God sent Him to do, and that was to seek and to save those who were lost. Did you know that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're actually glorifying God the Father, your Heavenly Father? When you trust Jesus, now He's not your Heavenly Father until you do trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. But that's the first way that we can glorify God and bring praise to Him, is because God sent His only begotten Son into this world so that everybody could have everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 16. Well, the third fundamental is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know He lived, but He also died. But, you know, Jesus is alive today. How'd that happen? He was resurrected. He was resurrected from the dead. Chapter 4 and verse 25 of Romans says, who, and this is Jesus speaking about Jesus, was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And I mentioned this the last time. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then everybody who has ever been born and died are in the devil's hell. If Christ has not risen from the dead, then everyone who has and or will ask Jesus to save them are either in hell or will be in hell when they die. Well, I tell you that according to the Scriptures, Christ has risen from the dead. And all who will call upon His name, believing that He was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead, will be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, Paul says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now, when I say Paul penned this down, this is what God wants us to understand, that His Son, Jesus Christ, rose from the grave. I'm going to read that again. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." All those people who have gone on before us, they're alive. And I believe they're with the Lord right now. And we which are alive right now, the Bible says that one day Jesus is coming back in the clouds, and those of us who are alive will be caught up together with those who have gone on before, and we'll be caught up together with them to be with the Lord forever. And I'm looking forward to that. Whether you go in the rapture or the breath of life leaves your body, if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're going to be with Him one day because you know Him as your Lord and Savior. Well, Jesus did rise from the grave and is alive. Now, some like the Wesleyans and the Jesus-only people will try to tell you that Christ only rose spiritually, but my Bible tells me He rose bodily. And that's what we need to really understand today, that He is alive. He is alive, and He has given us eternal life because He lives, because He shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 4 through 6 says, "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once." I mean, that's just one time. "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Some have gone on, He says. Some have, they've gone on, now they're with the Lord. Well, number four fundamental of the faith is this: payment for sin. Christ's atonement is what this is speaking about, and He made the payment. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And He is the propitiation." That means the satisfaction. He satisfied this. He is the propitiation for our sins. He satisfied that. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He paid for our sin. And 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation," the satisfaction, in other words, for our sins. And John 3:16, I mentioned this a few minutes ago, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, Christ's victorious, he was a substitute for everybody else. But Christ's victorious death, we see that he had victory over death. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. We're going to leave this world one day, and I pray that you know him as Savior, and you will leave, and you'll be with him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then familiar verses, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, those things are going to pass away. They mean nothing. It says, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Now, if your fathers, that means your relatives, your predecessors, if they were saved, then it was good that they gave you the plan of salvation. But if they believed in any other way of going to heaven, they thought, by works or any other way, then don't listen to that. You're not going to heaven by listening to someone. You're going to go by listening to the Lord Jesus Christ through his word. Verse 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1 says, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by his blood, the blood that he shed for you and I, for the human race, for the world. It's sad that people will not call upon his name. They will not trust him. That's some people, of course. Not everybody's going to hell because I, along with others, have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I pray that you'll do the same if you have not done that. Well, the fifth fundamental of the faith is the second coming of Jesus. He's coming literally. There's no doubt about that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4, this is exciting. It says, and his feet shall stand in that day. What day? When he comes back. Now, I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm speaking about the second coming. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east, toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Well, the Mount of Olives is where Christ ascended back to heaven, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, we read, and he will stand again on the mount when he comes again, literally. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. He's coming back as the king. He's not coming back as that little baby in the manger. He's coming back as the king. He's not going to be crucified again. Well, not only is Jesus coming back the second time, we're coming back with him. That's exciting. Revelation chapter 19, verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Well, are we to believe that Christians who hold to these basic fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith are narrow-minded and legalistic? It's on the contrary. The Bible teaches that we are to stand up and proclaim the five fundamental doctrines mentioned in the Word of God. The Bible, Jesus Christ, Bible, no mistake, Jesus Christ the Savior, the resurrection, he rose from the grave, he paid for our sins, number four, payment for sin, and number five, he's coming again, the second coming of the Lord. Do you know him today as your Savior? If not, call upon him. Receive him right now as your Lord and Savior. Lord, I can't save myself. I'm turning to you. I'm turning away from myself or anything else that I thought would get me to heaven. I'm turning to you, Lord, and I'm trusting you as my Savior right now. I believe you're the Savior. I believe you're God. I believe you died on the cross for me, and you're alive today because you rose from the dead. Please, Lord, save me so I'll see you one day in heaven.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.